Is your family struggling with having consistent, regular family worship? If that's your experience, what can you do about it?
We'll discuss this and more today on Real Family Talk. Join us. Welcome to Real Family Talk. Today, we are discussing family worship and its foundational element in the unity of a family.
We're delighted to talk with Dr. Orathi Churison and Tanya Buganda from Adventist Children's Ministries. Orathi and Tanya, thank you for being here today. And let's begin by asking you, Orathi, tell us about Adventist Children's Ministries, its main mission and vision.
The mission of Adventist Children Ministry is to nurture children into serving and loving relationship with Jesus. And we start from birth until 14 years old. And we plan to accomplish our mission by having our ministry as grace-oriented ministry, where children should feel the unconditional love of Jesus through us. At the same time, we also help them to participate in service-oriented ministry, and that is to lead them to reach out to others and be a part in community outreach programs. Wonderful. And that is just one of the many that we are doing now.
It's a mouthful, but it's a good mouthful, grace-oriented.
Yeah.
I mean, what better time than speaking to children and sharing with them that connection with Jesus is grace-oriented, not because of what you can do, but because of what Jesus has already done. So Tanya, tell us a little bit more about the mission and vision of Children's Ministries.
Sure. We also want to make sure it's also inclusive. Children from all over the world feel that they belong to the Adventist Church, and that there's no age limit to how God can use you. And also feel safe, safe ministries. You know, when it comes to volunteers, you want to make sure parents know your children are in good care, background checks. Those are things that we make sure people know are available. And also just make sure that they're a priority in our church. You know, that we have plenty of resources to help them develop that relationship with Jesus and know that He's always there.
Wow, that's really great. And,
yes.
and I really like the fact that you spoke about the diversity and children all over the world. Mm-hmm. And we want them all to participate and feel a part of the family. And I especially like the part when you spoke about safety.
Yes.
And
yes.
making sure that parents know that everyone who works with their children has to have a background check to make sure that they're safe. Mm-hmm. So their children will be safe. And the whole notion of giving them an opportunity to serve and to participate in the ministry of the church, that they don't have to be older to do something for Jesus. They can do it now at this age.
Yeah,
terrific.
I think what I really like about what you're both saying about your mission and your vision is not just teaching the children about Jesus, but also sharing this faith from birth to 14. And I really like that. You know, so you're saying that from the moment a child is born, we are introducing them to this grace-oriented, unconditional love of Jesus. So that segues into my next question for you, because really we're here today to talk about family worship and why it's important, especially within the context of what you are purporting to do in children's ministries. So Orathi, first I want you to share a little bit about your own personal experience and how, why family worship is so important to you.
Coming from non-Christian background, I know that family worship is so important to my children because they can't find faith and nurturing anywhere else except in the home that they live in. And so we really prioritize this. And at the same time, we also realize, you know, with our travel, there are ways that we can do, and that's we would like also to share to others. Even how busy you are, it's always possible if you have a mind to and priority to do it.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And Tanya, how does Children's Ministries encourage and help families to recognize the importance and significance of having family worship, regular family worship.
We always like to look to Deuteronomy 6 and say it starts in the home. Mm-hmm. We don't want to have outsiders train your children, teach your mm-hmm. children. If the parents can have that support system to know that, you know, we have a Bible, it starts with the Bible, teach them the Bible, a strong foundation in Christ is where it starts in that home. And when the kids have that strong foundation, mm-hmm. it can prepare them when they're out there in the world. And there's so many ways you can teach your kids in the home, so many stories and just being creative with all the Bible stories. So
and
that's
of,
what-
Of yeah. course, Deuteronomy 6, talking about Moses talking mm-hmm. to the children of Israel, the right. Shema, as we know it, mm-hmm. To teach our children how to love God and yes. to talk to them right. all the time. And I love the way the text goes on about, you know, talk to them in the morning when you wake up and as you go throughout the day and even in the evening. And so that sets the foundation for right. us as people mm-hmm. of faith mm-hmm. to recognize how important it is for us to teach our children to love Jesus and to know who God is. So,
well, you know, families look different. They're diverse. You already mentioned that. We have mm-hmm. them all over the world. Not only that, mm-hmm. you have families with two parents, single parents, blended families, all mm-hmm. kinds of different family formations. So that looks different. And the question I ask now is, well, what are the main elements in family worship and what does that look like? Would you share some of that with us?
I have two keywords for my family worship that we practice and reinforce in a family, and that is the gratitude and worship. Because coming to God in His presence, we recognize how supreme and how God has been such a wonderful God to us. And that's how I like children to connect with God, through that sense of adoration and sense of worship. And so that's how their worship is meaningful. And another key element that I also would like to add is children should realize that God is there while they are worshiping Him, whether it is in church or at home, so that they will develop the sense of, you know, reverence, at the same time, attentiveness. And this can also lead to their corporal worship in church. They know that it's not a time they're just going to waste, but it's the time to revive their spiritual vigors and help them to grow in Christ.
Okay.
Yeah. So Tanya, did you want to add anything to that?
I'd like to say kids should know that their faith, God can use their faith, whatever faith you have, little faith or more faith, God can work in your life. And for kids to just remain active in faith mm-hmm. and know that God will always provide and that He can work through kids to bring adults to God. Mm-hmm. So they know that, you know, that's how God can work in their life when they're faithful too, no matter what they're facing. Because kids come, as we mentioned, different backgrounds, different upbringings, to know that stay faithful and God will make a way and He will provide. So
yeah, I love the whole notion of gratitude mm-hmm. and teaching these children from the home, because, you know, it's so wonderful how you two work in tandem here, because what I hear you saying is by the simple things that we do in our lives every day, mm-hmm. We're teaching our children about God and we're teaching them how to respect God and how to recognize that He's available to them. So they're developing their own faith, and that's why family worship is so important, mm-hmm. so that we're not just leaving it right. to the church or mm-hmm. to the school or to mm-hmm. other people. So thank you for sharing that. We're going to get back to more on family worship, but we need to take a short break. When we return, we'll continue talking with Orathi Chirusin and Tanya Muganda. Stay with us.
Today on Real Family Talk, we are talking about building our families up in the Lord as we rebuild the family altar. Dr. Orathi Chirusin and Tanya Muganda, both from Adventist Children's Ministries Department, are joining us as we tackle this important topic.
So, Orithai, we and Tanya, we've spoken about the importance and the significance of family worship and its impact in building strong Christian families. And I think you had a testimony you wanted to share with us. So why don't you share that now?
Yes, thank you, Elaine. Actually, before going to the testimony, I have something to say. I really believe that we should never fail in having family worship because this is the opportunity to disciple and evangelize our children
Amen.
In our own home.
Amen.
And without this key element in our spiritual life, it's not going to worth anything if we lose our children. And so coming back to my testimony that I would like to share, it happened with our kids because we travel extensively, but what we do is always we pray together. And that we consider also like family worship because that's the time, you know, even within short time, we have a video call and said, okay, son, we are praying for you, how you are doing in school. Because since he was 10 years old, he was, you know, most of the time home, and we were traveling somewhere. And so he developed the sense of gratitude and the belief in the power of prayer. So every time he would, you know, ask us, please pray for me, for my study, for my quiz, I'm not feeling well or anything. So that's the way we reach out to them and then we pray together. And so one time he said, Ma, I really want to pray to God. And one time I pray and he said that I pray that God would multiply the money in the wallet that I have because I was so hungry. And then so he prayed, God, if you could multiply it, you know, the 5 loaves and 2 fish, you can do that. Please do. But when he opened, there's no multiplication. So he was a little bit disappointed. And so but then his friend came over and said, hey, Paul, what are you doing here? Let's go out to eat. I said, no, I don't have money. You know, they were in the dorm. And so he said, yeah, just go, man. I'm going to pay for your meal. And then he said, okay, let's go.
So God multiplied.
Wow. Yeah. And so he shared that. So we seized the opportunity to disciple and to nurture their faith, his faith, and saying that, you know what, God doesn't always answer your prayer the way you ask, but he always provide what you need. Mm-hmm. And that's how God miraculously do for you.
That is so, that is so powerful. And I love the fact that you said you seized the opportunity, which is what I hear you guys saying to parents, that we need to think outside of the box when we think about family worship, that you use this opportunity of your son sharing a story and his disappointment, but then allowing him to see how God had blessed him. So that is just so powerful. And it's so important for parents to understand that these are teachable moments to disciple and evangelize their children. So share with us, Tanya, some more ways in which busy parents, though, because the thing that we always hear from people, and we're all in this together, family ministries, the thing that we always hear from people is that we simply don't have the time. Right. How can we have family worship when we're doing, you know, we have school and we have Pathfinders and we have other activities, sports and music? How can they find time? What are some ways in which they can put family worship into the schedule?
That's a good question. There's always so many props, visual aids, and I know people can't always afford, but there's, you know, some ideas that I could share. And I was also going to mention that sometimes with worship, it doesn't have to be too long. Kids always feel like it has to be 30 minutes to an hour.
Amen.
But even 5 minutes is good, maybe a scripture passage, and then ask the kids, how can you use this at school or with your friends? How can this help you? And then when we see you at the end of the day, how did that help you, encourage you? So those are also different ways to encourage, just short, you know,
family worship. Want to pause there.
Okay.
Because that is so powerful. I love this perspective that you children's ministry professionals are bringing to this. Where you, so you're sharing the text with the child in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be longer.
Exactly.
Because, you know, for many of us that did have family worship, growing up, family worship may have been like an hour.
Right.
And so then you think, well, there's no way I can get an hour in before I get my kids to school. But you're saying 5 minutes,
yes.
Share a scripture passage with them.
Right.
But what was powerful about what you said was, and then encourage them to share it at school.
Mm-hmm.
To think throughout the day
right.
of how this text,
yes.
this passage of scripture can help you. And then the follow-up. Evening right. worship.
Yes.
How did that passage of scripture help you today? Mm-hmm.
That's
powerful.
What I'm really seeing here is that not only are you instilling the love of God in them and filling them with God's love and grace and building their faith, mm-hmm. but also teaching them how to share that faith with others.
Yeah.
So helping them to be evangelists.
Yes.
So it's a two-prong purpose. Mm-hmm. They are being fortified. And they're helping to fortify their peers. So family worship has value and yeah. it's intrinsic in terms of a vibrant spiritual mm-hmm. life for mm-hmm. children.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about the fact that, well, you've seen family worship and you have shared some ways in which children are impacted. Are there other ways you've seen children impacted because of family worship?
I think the positive impact can be made through family worship when the worship is the sweetest moment, as Mrs. White said. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to realize some parents do think intentionally or unintentionally wrongly, like making family worship a time for correction or rebuke. Mm-hmm. And that is something that we should never have done because it create a resentment and certain values is being suppressed because they didn't feel the love and compassion mm-hmm. in the family when it comes to using the faith to suppress or to, you know, make a person feel less of himself mm-hmm. or herself or less loved. And so I believe that one way to make family worship a very nourishing experience is by making it lively, short, you know, not too long, and at the same time, you know, participation of the every members who are there, whether they are older or the younger ones, they should have a part in having a part in making the family worship a wonderful time for the whole family.
Yes, that was excellent. Those ideas and that perspective, you know, wonderful for children. We'll talk more with Orathi and Tanya as they share some family worship resources when we return after a short break. Stay with us.
We're back on Real Family Talk with Adventist Children's Ministries leaders, Orathi Churison and Tanya Muganda.
That's right, and we're talking about the importance of making family worship consistent and regular, no matter how busy life gets. Orathi and Tanya, it's been a pleasure talking with you all this time, and mm-hmm. I hear that you have some interesting props to share with us for making family worship interesting for children. Could you share that with us now?
Yes, so I'm gonna start with this one because we have so many different visuals, but these are just a few just to give you a good idea. So this is from the idea of the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. So these are ribbons that represent each part of the Lord's Prayer. So for example, when we start the Lord's Prayer, you can ask the kids, do you see this ribbon, this color? It's talking with the first part of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. And what does blue represent? And then kids can say, oh, it represents boys or fathers. So that's a fun way for kids to remember our Father in heaven. And why do we worship God? Why is he, you know, someone that we worship? And why does he mean a lot to us? So that's a good way for them to remember. And then the next one is, hallowed be thy name. We can talk about the color white, because God is holy, he's perfect, and he can help us to be close enough to him. And then the next color, is purple. You can ask kids, what does purple mean when you look at it? You can talk about the kingdom of God. Mm. He comes from a dynasty. Doesn't it feel good to be part of a dynasty? So that's just an idea of the different ribbons and, you know, hallowed be thy name on earth as it is in heaven. And then you can end the ribbon with how when we get to heaven and how it's going to be so perfect, we get to be with God. And don't ever feel bad when you make a mistake or you sin. Know that we'll be with God on the streets of gold, and we'll be so happy to be with him. So that's a great way to talk about the Lord's Prayer. You can do it maybe each day and divide the ribbons and then tie it up, and they can share with friends or remember in their rooms. And, you know, to know that prayer changes everything, and we need prayer so we can get close to God.
Wow.
So that's one way.
That's so beautiful, and anyone can do that.
It's very
easy. You can just get some old ribbons or, you know, take them off of old clothes or something
exactly.
and put it together. Yeah, and I really like the idea that you shared that you could do it once a day.
Right.
And so that's easy. So did you have something else you wanted to share?
And this is just another prop or visual aid about the salvation of Christ. So it's a fun way. It's a cute little hand.
Looks like a puppet.
Yeah. You put your hand in there, so it's a fun way to get kids excited. And you can be like, and you know, when Jesus died, don't worry, don't be sad because he rose again. And even though, you know, we have sinned, he will forgive us. So it's a cute way to kind of each one you can kind of share with the kids.
What's and number one?
Number one is,
obey.
The sad face here. I receive him. I receive him, the gift of God's salvation. And then Jesus died so that we can be saved. And then even when you sin, you already are saved by God. And then God loves you. He's coming back to take us home. And then, don't be sad because you are a child of God. So then it continues here. Continue to grow in Christ. Keep praying. Share the gospel with people.
And obey, obey.
And obey, obey your parents because they love you. Obey God. Yeah. And God is with you. So
and tell someone. I see you have tell in the middle of that.
Oh, yeah, tell the good news.
Tell the good news.
So that's a fun way. Yeah, so it's
a
fun way.
It's a great
this is so much fun. Like, I want to be.
I want to go to that. Family worship, yes.
Yeah, so it's a fun way to, you know, get kids excited about the Bible and God. We want kids to know that the Bible isn't boring, you know, and that's getting them started in their relationship. So just a fun way.
That is so beautiful. Yeah. Where would families get something like that? I guess they could create it themselves.
They could actually with paper and then color it in. Or there's the website. It's the Child Evangelism website where they can buy these different little visual aids resources.
And I'm sure we could put that website up on our screen so that people
and probably
can watch it.
Adventist Children's Ministries .org.
We have links on there,
and we'll have that on the screen. Right. So what would be great for you to share with us now is that's wonderful for smaller children, for younger children. We talked earlier about the fact that as kids get older, especially you're talking about birth to age 14, that when they get into maybe those preteen years, it's a little bit more challenging. So what would you recommend for parents who have children who are now don't want to play with ribbons, you know, are no longer excited about the puppet fingers? What can you share with families?
What we normally share in our family worship time is for the children to, you know, understand how the purpose of their life. And so teens always have developed anxiety of their relationship with friends and with others, opposite sex, and even about sexuality. One day I was helping my daughter, you know, getting out of the car, and then she just blurted out saying that, "Ma, if sex is dirty, if sex is something not really we shouldn't be talking about, God would not created it. No, this is a very special gift." And that is from a 14 years old girl. And so I think during the family worship time, we can also share some intellectual questions with the children, especially when they talk, you know, like, how do you believe that there's God? You know, very simple question, but it's hard hit. It's not easy to answer, but at the same time, we have to provide them the environment where they will be able to be convinced mm-hmm. and understand that God is there, and we truly believe that He is everywhere for us.
Amen.
And so children, they need such affirmation and confirmation from the parents. And for the teen, questions that is quite difficult to answer would be thrown at us once in a while, but we are quite prepared to do if we are, you know.
Amen.
Looking forward to that.
Tanya and Orathi, Dr. Orathi, thank you so much. We're very excited that you came and shared with us today.
Thank you.
As you set out to rebuild your family altar in the unity of God, we want to encourage you with this verse from Psalm 133:1 that says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." May God bless your family as you seek to make Him the center of your life.
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.